But I want you to read this psalm with me, Psalm 118 and verse number 15. I want you to share with me today, if you don't mind, if you think about this and think about what this psalm says and what this particular verse is saying of how we can bear witness or give testimony of God's faithfulness over our lives. Listen to what he says here. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The voice or the sound of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents or the dwellings or the tabernacles of the righteous. I want you to think about that for a moment. The sound of rejoicing and the sound of deliverance, the sound of salvation is in the dwellings or in the habitation. Wherever the righteous are, there's the sound of rejoicing and salvation. And in essence, what this passage is saying as we look back, look at verse number 1 for a moment of 118. And he says in this passage in 118 in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is sometimes good." Does it say that? How often is he good? Is he always good? Is he good in the bad times and the good times? Is he good when things are going your way? Is he good when things are not going your way? Is he good when things look bad in your life? When you get diagnosed with an illness or an incurable type disease, is he good? Is he not ever good? He's always good. Amen. So we can give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Listen to this. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Now, what's the key word in there? Forever, you think? You think? What's the key word in those few phrases that he just went through? What's that? Endures. So we got forever, endures, and mercy. We're going to get the whole psalm covered in a minute. What else? Tell me. I'm just asking y'all. Help me now.
Thanks.
Personally, I think it's the word now. I think it's the word now. Now say. Now say. Now say. Let Israel now say. Let Aaron now say. Let those that fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Because if his mercy has no beginning and it has no end, it doesn't matter where we at in the middle, we can now say that his mercy endures forever. Amen. No matter what situation you in, we can now say his mercy endures forever. And there's no better time to bless the Lord than what? Right now. Now. Right now. Where we are. So this is what I would like for you to do, if you would. If you would like to share. If you was writing a psalm in your life unto the Lord, because that's a psalm come from an individual for whom God was at work in. If you was writing a testimony of God's faithfulness over your life, or if you can give a key word, a key phrase, something just a word, or it may be something more than just a word, what would it be that you would, where you are in your life right now, where you currently are at in your position before the Lord, what would be the declaration of praise that you would want to give unto him today? If you was the psalm writer, pen was in your hand, and generations to come behind you would hear what was coming off of your lips, out of your heart, from your life unto the Lord today. Because keep in mind now that rejoicing and the voice of salvation is in the dwelling or in the habitation of the righteous. We ought to have a song in our heart, amen, that we can sing, that we can share, a testimony. Let's say it that way. Who wants to bear witness this morning? Just give testimony of God's faithful hand over your life and what he's doing with you right now and where he's brought you to. Anybody? Just to bear witness. Ma'am? Romans 8:28. That are called according to his purpose. Amen. Amen. So you would celebrate for the Lord and give thanks unto God because you know that everything's working together. That's right. No matter how good or bad it is, it's all working together. Amen. Because I know there's some things in all our lives, your life, my life, all of our lives, that are both good and bad. There's some things that are going on that ain't pretty, that ain't good. But God has a way of working that together, amen, for your good, our good, and his glory, and not just in your life, though. You see, the thing about the Lord is that he's able to work all things. Things that you are going through, I'm going through, whether good or bad, he's able to help it work for good for Mama Rob, and the same for you, amen. So some of the trouble that you're in right now, some of the things that some of you are going through, some of the difficulties that maybe nobody else really even knows about at this point in time, and then some of the things that we are aware of, that is able to work together for our good and God's glory of what you're going through. It all works together to be a blessing to everybody. And that's why a lot of times there are some things at a certain time you might not be it privileged to share with everybody. You may not have that liberty from God, but then there are times where you may not want to share it with everybody, but God presses upon your heart to bear witness of what you're going through, because what you're going through actually can be a very tool to help your brothers and sisters go through what they're going through. And they see you going through it in a way that brings glory unto the Lord and blessing him, even as difficult as it is, and even though you find yourself in despair, even though the things going around you may have you in despair, there's still a well of life rising up out of you. That's the paradox of walking with the Lord. Things can have you at despair, but God has built and strengthened you at the same time. His word's bringing comfort to you and hope to you, reviving you in the midst of despair. It don't make sense, but it does happen. That's a paradox of walking with the Lord. Amen. Anybody else want to share right now? Just give a testimony.
Well, I love Psalm 53.
That's right.
So
that's something that we have difficulty with understanding in our culture is failure.
Yeah.
That we believe somebody has fallen off the deep end when they failed, and it's often in the failure that God does the mighty work in and through our lives. And a lot of times we want to hide the failure from everybody else when it's that very thing that God has used to put us in a platform to work with somebody for his glory. I was reading on a particular Bible teacher out of Korea, and he was sharing on those things that in their culture they try their best not to hide their failure of what they have fallen in or what they failed in and how God has shaped and molded them through that to be the person they are. And he said he's noticed in other cultures, like our culture in America, failure is something to stay away from, to shun, to keep to yourself, don't say anything about, keep quiet about it, because it's attached with pride more than it is the favor of God upon your life. And God uses failure. And there's nothing wrong with being, as Miss Lorraine is saying, she is prone to be gripped with fear. Fear can attack, have panic attacks, or fear over things. The problem comes when we let the fear control and manipulate our steps and our walk. But she's learned how to deal with that fear when it comes and turn it unto the Lord, that he can be her trust even though fear comes upon her. See, fear can come upon us, but and how we handle that fear is where the blessing unfolds, that we turn unto the Lord and he brings us out, puts us in a safe place of refuge with him. And I know many of you, how many of you ever have trouble with fear? Your own mind works against you and you fear things that are not really there. You create some things in your mind. Somebody else going through the same thing you're going through, experience the same thing, wouldn't even think twice about it in a fearful sense, but you do. Don't kick yourself over that. Learn as what Miss Lorraine is testifying. She's learned how to give that fear unto the Lord and stay in his safe haven, even though fear attacks her spirit and her heart. She has a refuge in that present time. Amen? Somebody else. We can turn unto the Lord no matter how difficult the day is. Amen? And how God's able to strengthen. Somebody else. Is anything too hard for me? Amen. Yes. Right. Reminding ourselves of the promises that God gives us. Amen. Causes praise to come out. And we've learned that when we praise the Lord, what does God do? Our praise is our strength in the Lord. He does. And the enemy knows. Remember that illustration I gave you? If the enemy, he understands if he can dehorn us of praise, because a horn is something strong, stiff, hard, a tool, for an example, that a bull would use and be less dangerous and less of a threat if we dehorn him. Well, the enemy knows if we can be dehorned of praise, we become less of a threat to his work and what he's doing. Psalm 148 that says that thing, the horn of his people, which he says is the praises of his people. He's elevated. Also in Psalm 8, praise tells us that when we praise God, he silences or paralyzes the enemy. Remember the illustration about the spiders and the dirt daubers? When we praise him, even though fear comes upon us, when we say, Lord, what in the world is too difficult for you to do? See, we're attributing praise unto the Lord. We're giving him glory for who he is and what he's able to do. Has his arm been shortened? In no way. He's able to deliver. Amen? Amen. You know what that picture is. How many of you ever had a dream and you was in a fight in a dream or trying to get away from something? You ever try to get away something in your dream and you just can't run? You know what I mean? You can't get away? Or you have a free shot. Y'all that ever fought before know what I mean. You had a free shot at their mug. You could peel their head if you want to say it that way. But you can't swing. It don't go. It's like your arm's short and you can never make the hit. Well, you see, we don't have to worry about that with the Lord. His arm's never short and he's going to take care of it. Amen? Amen. Somebody else. Amen. Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's right. Testimonies of giving praise to the Lord. For the sound or the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the dwellings of the righteous. We got something to sing about, amen? As the psalmist says, put a new song in my heart. A new song is a fresh work. God is fresh at work in our lives for his glory. And it may not always be a song that has the hint toward it of triumph. We read some of these psalms of David where David was, oh Lord, why is my soul cast down? But the triumph is the fact that he knew who to go to. Even when he was downcast in spirit and depressed of where he was at, he was in that dark season. His heart counseled him to bring it to the Lord, to sing out to God, because God was able to bring him out of that pit of miry clay and put him on a rock and establish his steps and put a song in his heart that people would not only hear but also see in his life. Amen? Good word. I love that Psalm 23 and that phrase, for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd for his name's sake. Amen? And all those things that Greg just read, that personalizing that is for His glory and our good, as Mama Rob pointed out in Romans 8:28, being our shepherd. To Him be the praise. Somebody else, share.
You know the Lord, He's done a great miracle for each one of us.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Trust in Him that you're going to have eternal life.
Yeah. Short psalm with a powerful message. Amen. That's right. To Him be the glory. No matter what we have to face. A lot of times we may not see the hand of God, but we can always trust His heart. He is good, and He is righteous. Somebody else?
Patience is a good word for me. It's meant right now.
Patience. And she said, amen. She said, y'all need learning, amen. Amen. I think we all need to learn more patience, to be patient. You know, patience is an outcome of several things. One, you can't learn patience unless you go through trouble. So when you say we need more patience, that means you're saying unto the Lord, I invite whatever that means, whatever it takes for me to learn patience, I invite that in my life so that I can be more like you. And to be more like Him, to have more patience, means you got to go through trouble. It's how God builds it. It's through trouble. Challenges. Romans 5, that through tribulation worketh patience, and patience character, and character hope that never disappoints. Got to go through those things for that. James 1 talks about he that lacks patience, you know, he could ask God for wisdom to know how to do what? To endure the trial, to go through the trouble, to deal with the test of life that we have to go through. And no matter what test we're in, no matter what trouble we're facing, no matter how the temptation comes against us of whatever kind it is, we can say like the beginning of Psalm 118, let those that fear the Lord now say His mercy endures forever. Amen. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Right.
That's my hometown.
Magnolia.
Yeah. Probably was crawling up under a bench or something.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. No, we sat on bench. Mm-hmm. We didn't run through church, you know. But those things stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
They do.
And I really appreciate the fact that y'all, you know, if that's just one child, it's
establishing the testimonies of the Lord in their life. Amen. Somebody else. Great hope, isn't it? I'm sure glad he knows what he's doing. Amen. I sure do. As the verse that Miss Lorraine put on her card, you know, at the entrance of thy word is light. At the entrance, that is the opening of the door, the opening of your word. It's like pulling back the curtain. When you open those dark curtains up and that sunshine shines in upon you, just the opening up of the Word of God unveils the light of the Lord. And that's why we want to open the Word. That's why we want to work with the little ones and the adults. And I need it as much as they do, is that the light of the Word would shine upon my heart and expose things that are contrary. But more than that, that I'll see Him. And see Him for who He is and what He's come to accomplish in and through our lives. Amen? Good, good word. Hey, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the habitation of the righteous. What comes out of our lives? What comes out of our home? Voice of salvation and rejoicing is in the dwelling places of the righteous. Wherever the righteous are, whether it be in church, whether it be in our home, whether it be on the job, whether it be in the road, wherever it is, the sound of rejoicing and the songs of deliverance shall come out of the heart of the righteous. Amen? Amen. Look at this passage, and I just want to give you a few things to think about this sound, the things that we're talking about here, what's been testified already, the sound of triumph, the sound of victory coming out of the life of the righteous, that praise, that rejoicing. Look over in 119 in verse number 32. I'm going to read 130 again that Miss Lorraine referenced. I'm going to read verse 129. And on down a little bit, but listen to the voice or the sound of triumph that is found by way of the precious victory we have in the Lord. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance or the unfolding of your words give light, it gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, listen to this, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Isn't that wonderful? Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Verse 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. The wonderful voice of triumph, of knowing that God is able, one, to direct my steps by your word, Lord, that you'll give word that I can walk in and victory in, and let no iniquity, whatever that may be, of me, which would be of the wickedness within me that attaches itself to this old world around me, don't let any of that have dominion over my life. I want you to rule and conquer me and direct my steps according to your word. You see, as verse 131 says, "Open my mouth." I open my mouth and panted. That's like somebody who's wanting they thirsty. They need something to drink. I don't know if y'all recognized or not, but when we came in, one of those that one of those plants. What plant was that, Mama Rob? That peace lily? Is that what that is? A peace lily back there that was from Miss Catherine's funeral was back there, and it was overnight. It had wilted and was laid over, and it was dying for thirst. It needed water bad. And the soil inside there don't retain that water good, and so it don't keep for long. You got to keep adding water to it. That plant back there was panting. It needed water. And I want to tell you, this is the picture here. David's saying, I need you to water me, Lord. I need you to pour water upon me. Water me with your word, because I'm parched and my mouth is open and ready for you to pour it in. Use your word to direct my steps, and don't let anything conquer my life other than you. See, that's the voice of triumph, the sound of praise, knowing that we have that possibility. Look at 119:54, the voice of truth. Look in 54, 119:54. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. That's all what we heard in here this morning when people were testifying. What was they testifying to? The songs, or what God has placed upon their heart that they wanted to share. They were sharing passages of truth, scripture, truth that has become their praise, their song unto the Lord, that they're depending on, resting upon. Look at 111 of Psalm 119. Let's see what it says. Your testimonies I have taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of what? Mine heart. Your testimonies I have taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. You see, that's why the righteous, they rejoice and sing of the salvation of the Lord. It comes out of their heart. Why? Because they bear witness to the testimonies of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. And God raises up within them, and that song just comes out. You can't help yourself. Amen. The voice of thanksgiving. Look in Psalm 143. I'm just using some of these psalms because we're wrapping them up today and we've been reading through them. And Psalm 142, actually, in verse number 7. You know, fear is a prison, isn't it? It's bondage. Listen what the psalmist says, David, here. Bring my soul out of prison. 142:7. Bring my soul out of prison that I may do what? The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. What we're doing in here today, my objective was, is that we just, these opportunities for you to bear witness and testify are to give witness and surround the righteous with testimonies. Look in Psalm 32 and verse 7. Which goes along with this passage there in 142. Verse 7 says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of what? What are songs of deliverance? Songs of deliverance are actually the songs of the righteous. What are the songs of the righteous?